because you walk through in your socks, I want to keep your socks clean, so don't step on the balcony with your socks. Does that make sense?
All right.
Thanks, dude. Did you hear?
Say it. Say it.
Working?
Talk about it.
Yes?
Oh, yes. I love God. God love me. We're a great big family. You got some chips?
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know if we want to be eating chips during the podcast, but we could have it just at the beginning. You want some chips?
Oh.
People don't like crunching. They find it disrespectful.
Oh, okay.
Is there a non-crunching food I can offer you?
You got some yogurt? Can I speak naturally and say the N-word here?
Yes.
Cool. Dude, how the fuck do these people know that I have a fucking gap? Like, cause now there are like advertisements like in my feed that says, "Hey, close your gap."
Like gap in your teeth?
Yeah, like they, but like this is just a sponsored advertisement, and it's just randomly like, what the fuck? Like, how do you like get out of my fucking business? You can be na 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 na. Every day, your lips are moving.
Water or anything?
I'll take some water.
Scoot doo. Blabbity blue. Scoop dee. Oh yeah.
I love this house, man. Damn, this shit nice.
Let's check some levels. How do I sound? I sound
you sound right. Good, boy.
Yeah, you sound real good though.
No. Don't nobody sound better than you, man.
Thank you. Hi, Tyso Goblins and Glassman Boppers and Pizza Lovers and Cartoon Fuckers. I don't know. I was trying to give some type of energy up top and I failed. Yeah, I think I need some extra therapy right now. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an app that will assess your needs and match you with a professional, licensed therapist no matter where you are in the world. And they want you to start living a happier life today. Boppers and Goblins alike could save up to... Is it up to 10%? It should be just 10%, right? Yeah, you get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp.com/Tyso. That's BetterHelp.com/Tyso for 10% off your first month. Jamar?
Hey, Rick Glassman.
Welcome. Oh. May I interrupt?
Hello.
Yeah.
You can na-na-na-na-na-na.
So you asked if you could speak naturally and use all of the language you want. Have you been on some podcasts where they don't want you to swear?
No. I started comedy at the Laugh Factory, and there are certain words that they wouldn't let us use.
Shout out to the Laugh Factory. We'll put their Instagram handle up here.
Yeah. And so I didn't know. Like I've always asked.
But that was a decade ago.
Yeah, it was. But like it. It fucked me up here.
Did you almost not say it there?
Yeah. I've got kicked off a stage for saying the words.
You are a big risk taker on stage, and I'm surprised. It's interesting to hear you say that you filter it. You choose to do it, but you think about it every time?
No. I just didn't know how you got down.
Okay. We have known each other for a very long time.
Yeah, we did.
And have some crazy similarities of which I've never even, I don't think I've talked about on the podcast, my experiences with this yet. I would love to get into it with you. But before I do, I just want to let everyone know, I was at the grocery store the other day.
Okay.
And I saw a black guy who's very strong. I guess that's a fair character trait for a lot of people. Because you were wearing a mask, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed it was you.
Right.
And I made eye contact with you, and I went like this, and you gave it back. And then in my head, I'm thinking, oh, that's otherwise he wouldn't have raised his eyes if it weren't me. But then when I got in the car, I saw in the mirror, my hood is on. I'm wearing a mask. You might not know who I am.
I knew who you were.
Right away.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's Rick.
If you didn't know, if somebody who you didn't know who I was, right, gave you this is what it was, but with a mask. You would assume that I know you, but you don't know who I am. How would you respond to that?
I'd be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, you'd pretend you know who I am.
It could be a fan. So I always, is that the mailman?
Must be. I hear those beeps. It's the same beep as my cameras, and I check if they turn off.
Yeah, that is the mail lady. It's a mail lady.
Which you have to call all of them mail ladies now, but is it a guy or a girl?
It is a female.
A female male lady.
Or do you like to be called female? Yeah, she likes to be called female. I got her thing right.
Now, I love that they changed mailman to male person or male lady, but what about the first word male? Should we call them female persons or female ladies?
Yeah. Talk on that. Yeah. I think that you male man. Oh, right. You can't even say they man. Them. They're dropping off my mail. say mail.
Yeah.
They're dropping off my papers.
Jamar?
Yes.
Jamar.
Malachi Neighbors.
Welcome to Take Your Shoes Off. I'm glad I ran into you and that you said you would be willing to do this because you're going to Texas in a couple of days.
I am going to Texas in a couple of days to go do stand-up comedy.
The new home of comedy?
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah.
Are you moving there?
No, I'm just going to go out there for the whole month of March.
I know you're doing a residency, Jamar's apartment.
Yeah.
Where is that going to be?
The apartment shows are going to be at the Native Hostel off of 6th Street Tuesday.
Well, I actually want to have you do a promo for it. We're going to push in on you. We'll add a little music. I'd love to keep it to, 15 seconds, but 30 tops.
Okay.
And, but before you do, what is this? What makes it a residency versus just a weekly show? Why is the term residency?
What's a residency?
So
I didn't even know. Look, when you said residency, I was like, I'm staying there for a month.
And you're doing a weekly show?
Yeah, I'm doing a weekly. I'm not staying at this hostel. Okay, I'm just.
I don't know. That's what I hear. I hear. What do you guys think? You guys think he's staying at the hostel?
No, I'm not. Swear to God. I swear to God. Have you ever stayed at a hostel?
I've done a show at a hostel.
Have you ever spent the night at a hostel?
No. Are all hostels the same thing, or are there some like, that's a nice hostel?
I don't know. Listen.
Sure.
I spent the night at a hostel maybe like 6 months ago off of Venice Beach. Because I just needed to get away from L.A., but I couldn't leave the state,
Why couldn't you leave the state?
I just didn't know where to go.
And you realize the way you said it sounded like a legal thing.
Oh, right. No. I'm pretty legit. I'm legit than a motherfucker. But
yeah, it wasn't a question. It's just not being able to leave the state.
I just didn't know where to go. So I said, hey, man, maybe I'll sleep on Venice Beach. So I stayed in a hostel on Venice Beach, and that shit was scary, man. Like, just to see hostel life. Like, people are living here. They have snacks. They have a snack set up. But it's all happening in their bed.
It just sounds like a sleepover.
Yeah, it is. And I spent one night there. I planned on spending three nights. I was like, oh, yeah, three nights on the beach, And then it was just too scary. I woke up. There was a lady vacuuming, but then she was looking at me the whole time while she was vacuuming, and I just thought it was weird. And I was like, I'm gonna cut this loose and just go to my home.
So you're at home in LA and you're thinking, I need to get out.
Yeah,
I just need a break. I've been cooped up. I want to go. I can't leave California, but let me go somewhere on the beach. I look online. I find a nice hostel. I'll stay three nights.
Yeah.
What were your expectations and how were they not met? What did you think that it was going to be like? No snacks in bed, snacks on the floor?
Everybody was fat there. Everybody was
Talk on that. What does that mean? I mean, I know you're making a joke, but were skinny, would it have been easier to stay?
Everybody more so just looked like, it's like, oh, these are homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They were just homeless. They stunk. They all got out of shape. And
you felt unsafe?
I felt more so creeped out and disgusted. Yeah, creeped out and disgusted a little bit. I didn't feel like it. Well, anything. I felt like anything could have happened in that hostel, but I just didn't. Yeah, it wasn't good.
My understand. Go ahead.
It's like, wait, dude,
I'm sorry. You, You ever get into that dance with people?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I like
yeah.
to do when that happens. Here, what? Do it with me. Go. I'll go. And then I get, oh. No, I'll do it. I'll go. It's like when you pull up at a four-way stop.
Right.
I'm fine if you go. I'm fine if I go.
Right.
I'm not as okay if we're waiting as long.
Yeah.
I like it when someone takes charge.
Yeah.
So, but you go ahead.
Yeah, I just didn't like staying at this hostel, man. It was just bad. I went to take because what I was doing was I had a show coming up on the weekend, so I need to think of some stand-up material. So I was like, well, I'm tired of thinking in my home. And so I was like, well, maybe you need to take these mushrooms and go on the beach for a few days.
Do you take mushrooms often?
No.
Maybe. I've been thinking about it. I want to try them.
In the beginning.
What's the beginning?
About 2011.
Why is that the beginning?
That's the first time I ever did it.
Gotcha.
And I took them and it was fucking fantastic. I was riffing. I was having fun.
We'll cut to a clip.
I'm watching Bridesmaid. Women are funny. You think any of them gonna vote for Obama again? Hey, yeah, man. That was me.
Yeah.
I just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call that riffing.
Oh. Yeah, it was a lot of... Yeah, I just... Yeah.
But you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy Bridesmaid.
No, I mean, you enjoyed the mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, the first time I did it. And then when I start, like, doing them more, like, they start, like, more so... It became more, like, therapeutic, and they kept, like, putting me in my place and telling me how I need to grow. And I'm like, I don't...
That sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, but then there's a lot of crying. No one wants... I want to laugh all the time, you know?
So you take mushrooms, and then you just get sad.
Getting more recently, yeah.
Are there different kinds of mushrooms the way there's different kinds of weed?
I don't know.
Like, are you taking sad mushrooms?
No, I wouldn't say that they're sad. I just think that, okay, you want to know what happened to me on the beach?
Yes.
For the hostel weekend?
Yes.
So I went there to go take some mushrooms because I wanted to write stand-up material.
Right.
So I took them, and there was like a pain in my heart. And I was like, what is this sensation? It's hurting. It's terrible. Maybe I'll take these mushrooms, make me feel better.
Pain was before the mushrooms.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe I'll take these mushrooms, make me feel better. It was a heavy on my heart. I took them, and then all of a sudden, you know, since the pain was on my heart, I said, what is this? Am I dying? So I started to meditate on the beach while I was on mushrooms, and I was all by myself in a place, like in a place on the beach all by myself. And then I was like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And I meditated and I kept going deeper and deeper and deeper. And then I opened my eyes and there was a girl on the beach.
Could you call them that anymore? Beaches? Aren't you supposed to call
on the ocean?
It's a derogatory term to call a girl a beach.
Yeah.
Which is Spanish for bitch.
Yeah.
We can keep that in. We could keep everything I just said in, but I want you to know that I made a mistake with that beach joke.
It's not a mistake.
The joke played, just the timing was off.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. I trust you comedically. You're fine. So let me finish telling you about this beach on the beach. She was wearing a white shirt. And she was faced towards the ocean.
So you could see her rear.
Yeah, I could. I saw her back because she had dark pants on. So I saw, but she was wearing a white shirt. And I said, look, it's a beach on a beach. It's a beach on a beach.
Right.
So I look at this girl and I said, oh my God, it's a girl. It's a girl. And then I was like, it's a girl. That's what's on my heart. It's a girl. And then I was like, what girl? And then I said, what girl do you think it is?
You're saying this to yourself or is this in your head?
Myself.
So you're talking on the beach?
Yeah, to myself. But, you know, I'm meditating. So I'm talking.
Right.
You know, trying to talk it through. And then it took me back to my first love. And I never, ever got over, like, no clarity, no closure. And then I just start crying.
What age?
What age what?
When was your first love?
From, like, 18 through, like, 23. It was, like,
It was a girlfriend.
Yeah, it was a girlfriend. And then so I started bawling. And I was like, I was so young. I didn't know. Yeah. And then when I stopped crying, the girl on the beach disappeared.
Well, maybe she was. So you think she wasn't real, or you think she just was a little turned off and weirded out by you and the other hostel people?
No. This time I'm on the beach. I'm not in the hostel.
But it's by the hostel.
It's probably like 7 minutes walking distance from the hostel.
Hostel-ish.
Yeah, for sure.
So you think that she wasn't real?
Yeah, because when I opened my eyes, she was gone. So I was like, did I just project this?
But how long were your eyes closed?
Probably about 4 minutes.
Yeah, she's not standing there for 4 minutes.
You sure? Because look,
positive.
Look, Rick, no, I was on the beach by myself.
Right.
I didn't see anybody.
Well, you weren't by yourself.
No. I was by myself.
Okay.
And then I closed my eyes for 4 minutes. Then I opened my eyes. There's a girl on the beach.
Okay.
She wasn't there.
Right. So before. In 4 minutes, a woman walked up on a beach. Maybe.
She didn't walk up. It was like she appeared there.
Well, you don't just appear like in 4 minutes. Here, close your eyes. Open. That's appearing. That's just appearing. Right? But if... Close your eyes. Keep them closed. Careful. Keep them closed. Okay, open. That was enough time. She didn't disappear. She climbed over the balcony. Do you understand?
Okay.
So if you have your eyes closed for a second, there's an old saying. I believe it was Bartholomew Babutant. Close your eyes for a second.
Me?
No, this is the saying. Shame on me. Close your eyes for 4 minutes is another man's treasure. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Hey, I'm back to tell you more about BetterHelp and also about therapy, because if you've been watching Take Your Shoes Off, you probably know that your boy Glassman is big into therapy. Whether you're depressed or have anxiety or obsessive compulsive disorder, or you're going through a breakup or whatever the f***ing thing is, I'll bleep that, okay? I'm talking to Betty right now. I'm not going to say I'm having a particularly tough day today because it's no different than any other day. My girlfriend Betty on the phone with me now, you know, therapy is help. And I always need somebody to talk to. I really like what BetterHelp has to offer, because if you don't want to leave your house, or if you're not in your hometown or whatever, no matter where you are, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed therapist. This isn't a crisis line. This is proper therapy. It's so convenient. They can match you with someone in under 48 hours. You don't have to wait in a waiting room where you're hearing somebody crying on in the other room. And once they come out, and then you avoid eye contact with them. I don't know if that's a big obstacle for people who go through therapy, but I usually have a little bit of a tough time when somebody's leaving and I'm worried that they're thinking that I heard them talk about their mom, and I did. And that's something that some therapist's office should kind of consider, that the people in the waiting room are listening. Not with BetterHelp. Everything you share is confidential, it's convenient, it's affordable, and BetterHelp wants you to start living your best life now with taking 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp.com/Tyso. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health by visiting BetterHelp.com/Tyso. Thank you, BetterHelp, and thank you, Betty Help. Do you want to say anything? Do you want to snap us back to Jamar?
Yeah, you're going to hear it?
Yeah. Great.
And we're back.
So what did you take from that? That woman on the beach who either disappeared or had minutes to just walk to another part of the beach.
That I can make people appear with my mind. Like, I'm so powerful. I'm like a psychic. Or like a... some type of mutant. Hot. But I could just make bitches beaches appear.
Right. Do you think there's a chance that you were actually at the hostel... and the woman did walk up and then leave, but what you actually made appear was a beach?
Uh, No.
Okay.
No, I think it was what I... Yeah, I think...
Have you had any resolution from this girl? Would you mind saying her first name?
No.
No, you wouldn't mind?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't mind. She know who she is.
We'll put her Instagram handle up here.
She didn't have an Instagram handle.
Well, I have a surprise.
She didn't have an Instagram.
I have a surprise for you.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. Open them. Here she is. Go walk. Go ahead. Go ahead. You could walk. You could walk over to the window. Show him your tits. Shake your titties. All right. Get out of here. Get out of here, you beach.
Where you going?
Pat, I'm going to go buy some magic cards.
All right.
So how do you feel after this?
After that?
Yeah.
A little hard.
Yeah. Do you think that your heart hurting was exacerbated by the mushrooms?
What's exacerbated mean?
It's like it's making yourself climax, but as quickly as possible. Do you really? I was making a masturbated, but with an ex in front of a joke,
right.
But hey, made it worse.
I hit it. I saw it. Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, I don't think so, man. I just think that the Lord wanted me to get over this woman so I can have more space in my heart to love. But all it really did was make me realize how powerful my mind is, dude. I could make bitches appear. Beaches appear.
Have you had a relationship since that one?
Yeah.
But wasn't a real one?
Well, when does a relationship start? Like is it
2011.
Oh, yeah.
No, go on. What you're saying. Is it what? I mean...
Is it like, hey, when you say, hey, you're my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend? Or is it like when you guys are just hanging out and then it's just that? Like, when is it official?
When you make it official.
So when you say, hey, you're my girlfriend.
You're my boyfriend.
Yeah, you're the voices are backwards. You're doing them at the wrong times.
No. She had a deeper voice than me.
Okay, but your voice is still higher.
And my voice is always kind of high.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I have always there's the courting phase, which could take anywhere from a small amount of time to a long amount of time. But at a certain point, when you're both on the same page, it's like a practice proposal, where you go like. Okay, I want her to be my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I want us to be exclusive. I'm going to ask, would she like to be my girlfriend? And then when I ask, and if she wants to be my girlfriend, or if she wants to be my girlfriend, then she'll say, yes, you're my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then you go like, okay, so should we make today our anniversary, or should it be our first kiss? And then she's like, I don't even remember where our first kiss is. And I said, I remember. And I tell her the date. And she goes, I think it should be the first kiss. And then I go, I think it should be today because today's when it's official. And she goes, okay. And then I'm like, well, why didn't I even give her the option? It reminds me of a story when I was at Pizza Hut. I was a kid, so cut me some slack.
Okay.
The waiter asked what I would like to drink, and I asked for a slice. Not a slice of pizza, but the slice, the soda pop slice.
Oh, right.
And he goes, green or orange? And I go, green. He goes, we only have orange. And I, at the time, said, oh, orange. And I remember thinking that was odd.
Yeah.
But cut to 8-10 years later, I'm in college. I'm at, not Fruddruckers. I'm at wherever the fuck I am. Okay, Rockne's. And I order the chicken tenders. And he says, we don't have chicken tenders. And I said, I'm here twice a week. I always get... an Asian chicken salad and the chicken tenders. And he goes, we don't have chicken tenders. I go, could I speak to somebody else? And he came back with somebody else. And I asked, and that guy said, we don't have chicken tenders, but we have chicken fingers.
Mm-hmm. So what happened? Did you get the chicken fingers?
I got the chicken tenders.
That's crazy. Yeah, man. So... I mean, The girl, I don't know. I usually don't want people to be, I usually don't want them to be my girlfriend, but you know, when I feel it, I feel it. So I asked the girl, I didn't even really know her that long, but I was like, hey, you want to be my girlfriend?
This is the first girl.
No, this is the second girl.
How old are you at this point?
27.
So like 4 years goes by. You're ready for another girlfriend. You ask her.
Yeah. And then that lasted for about 5 months of official, hey, you're my girlfriend. Oh, and then we broke up.
And now you're hurting.
No, not on the second one.
But you still miss that first one.
No, not anymore. But, you know, like, since it's... When did you have a first love?
The bottom of the chair has fallen out. You could put it on the floor or sit on it. Senior year of high school.
How long did it last?
I'll tell you, from April 21st, 2002 to July 4th, 2003.
Okay. Do you still think about it every now
and
then?
There's a day that goes by that I don't think about Sarah.
You're so silly.
No, I don't think of... I mean, you know, it's part of my past. Every now and then, you know, it comes up.
So it was like that. So I mean, that's what it was like for me, where... And then, so I'm not hurting, but I think about it, and I'm like, damn, because you know why? Because I don't like wasted time. So I'm like, why did I spend that many years with this person?
Do you feel it was a waste of time?
Yeah, because I'm like, I could have been, well, what could you have been doing? Yeah, I guess it was a waste of time. I just figured that out now, Rick. Now.
That's good.
Dude.
I don't know if it's just because I think about it often or if it's just because I've read it and or it feels cliche, but like Rascal Flatts has a song about it. God bless the broken road that led me straight to you.
Wow.
Do you know how it goes? Could I put a little...
I don't care.
I'm not going to say I'm a good singer, but I'm not a professional singer.
Let's hear it.
But every long, lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars, leading me on my way. Into your loving arms, this much I know is true. That God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. So it's like, even if you haven't found that person yet, whether it's that person, that job, that identity, these obstacles, you know, Will Smith said it best on my podcast when he said, fail forward.
What else can you sing?
Baby, lock them doors and turn the lights down low. Make the music on the soft and slow. Baby, we ain't got nowhere to go.
Wow.
I hope you understand.
Will Smith did this podcast?
Yes, sir.
That's tight, man. I like Will Smith.
Do you know Will?
No, I don't know Will.
While we're talking about Will, it's making me think of acting.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know if I'm making this up, but would you call Keanu a big break for you?
Yeah.
You did Keanu it was with Key and Peele.
Yeah.
Tiffany Haddish, that was her breakout role. Or would you say Carmichael's Show was her breakout role?
Well, she kept having breakout roles.
I feel like, but once Keanu happened, that's when like her, then it was like, oh,
I feel like Girls Trip.
Girls Trip like was like she's a star. Keanu, I feel like got her Girls Trip.
Yeah. But she was lit on the Carmichael Show though too.
Yeah,
but that led her to Keanu.
Where she,
then, yeah.
Broken Road, man.
Yeah.
Also, she started the Laugh Factory.
That song is stuck in my head, Rick.
Have you? Do you know that song?
Because you sung it so good.
Thank you.
You know?
Have you ever heard that song before?
No.
I think Rascal Flatts, whoever the singer is, we'll put his Instagram handle up here, has one of the greatest singing voices of all time. Him and Freddie Mercury. And I'm not even a big country guy, but Zach Brown Band.
And Donnie Hathaway.
Do you know any Donnie that you could give us? And because before we forget about your Jamar's Apartment show, could you give us a promo for anybody who's in Austin? It's in Austin, right?
Yeah. Do you want me to... sing Donny Hathaway first or promote the apartment show?
I think you should sing Donny Hathaway first and then lead into the promotion. And that way we could use the standalone promo or the extended cut where they could hear. So basically sing Donny Hathaway and then end it by saying, hi, I'm Jamar Neighbors singing Donny Hathaway, whatever song it might be.
Okay.
And I have like, and if you want more of that or, you know, whatever your transition would be into
okay.
your promo.
Okay.
But,
ready?
But before you start, could you do like under your breath? Could you go like you're like 2, 3 and don't say 4, but okay. leave the beat for 4.
Okay.
No, you got to go 2, 3.
Okay. 2, 3. I've been so many places in my life and time. Sung a lot of songs. I made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. And we're along now, and I'm singing this song to you. I'm Jamar Malachi Neighbors, and come see me live in Austin, Texas at the Native Hostel, 807 East 6th Street. And every Tuesday for the whole month of March, we're calling it March Madness.
Give him an example of a joke.
Oh, an example of a joke you will be seeing is, yeah, man, you ever squeeze your balls as hard as you can and it still doesn't hurt, you know? And then you're like, I'm invincible, boy.
It's good.
Yeah, because I got a, yeah.
And we're back.
I got a style.
So how did you get the role of Keanu? Was that your first role?
I was doing a lot of like Tosh before and a lot of like, so a little.
What were you doing? Like sketches on Tosh?
Yeah.
Were you writing on it?
No.
Just acting sketches.
Yeah. So that was like my little, you know, whatever. Yeah. That was like my little acting experience before then. And, oh, I did like I was doing like little shit, whatever, basically. And then I auditioned for Keanu and then I got that.
How'd you get the audition? Did you have an agent or manager at the time?
Yeah, I had a manager. I had just got with my manager. And then this came and I went in there. I drew all these tattoos on my body and all this stuff. And then I was just awkward the whole time and quiet. And then it was great. I was just great.
You felt like you nailed it.
For sure. Because you know how like you hear other people auditioning and you're just like, he's like, oh fuck, I think I got that.
You're saying you hear other people say that about themselves, or you hear other people and you're like, they didn't do as good as me.
When you hear other people in auditioning for your part.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, that dude's trash.
Gotcha.
He's like, oh dude, I'm gonna get this for sure.
I want to go back to the Keanu experience, but that's making me think of relatively speaking, your stand up is very performance based.
Yes.
Like you have jokes.
For sure.
But it's energy. It's a performance. I relate very much to that.
Yeah.
Do you feel that ever gets in your way? And where do you feel like that makes you either special or stand out? Because the way you're auditioning made me think of that. Does the question make sense?
No.
Okay. I don't want to say typical, but it's more, more common. Comedians have certain jokes and a certain style, which is just the jokes, the things they talk about or
all right.
their point of view, where you and in a different way, but we
yeah.
are like, for better or worse, somebody else, if they try to do, I feel if somebody else does what I do, other people even say they're trying to do Rick. They're trying to do Rick's thing. That's
right.
Rick's thing.
Right,
like
right.
it or not. Like it's less about certain punchlines.
It's more about the person.
Yeah. And I find that, and I don't want to talk too much on this because I want to hear your experience, but I find that it makes it challenging for me to repeat material sometimes unless... Yeah, it makes it difficult. I mean, I got okay with it over maybe the past 4 years, but the first 8+ years, because I was doing this performance, I felt like I needed to do a new performance all the time. Do you relate to that? Because I've seen you I've probably only seen you like 15 times.
Right.
And they've always been different.
Right.
Are you not understanding what I'm asking?
Now I understand, but okay, what's the question after it?
The question is, it seems like your Keanu audition was you as a performer going in and doing this thing that makes you special.
Oh, yeah, right.
As an actor, it's great to make those choices.
Yeah.
With stand-up, you have to find that balance because you're also the writer.
Right.
Do you find it challenging doing stand-up to give it that big performance every time? Not at all.
No, because I don't know if you're like this, but like, I know that I can like be effective with any kind of energy that I bring. So if I want to be, if I really don't want to be there and stuff like that, I can chill and be relaxed and just give you jokes and stuff, and I can still kill. Or I can just be high. I can be any way I want to be and still get the job done.
Yeah, I've never seen you not high energy before.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel that way. It's few and far between. I think I rely on just my comedic mind and trust that that is always 100%, no matter how I'm feeling.
Have you always been that way? I had a breakthrough with stand-up. It was at the...
You got to work it, you know, like, and learn it, like, you know, you got to, what did I say? You got to learn your craft, you know what
I'm
saying?
But the idea of being able to go into stand-up with any energy you're in is where I feel the cheat comes from. Like, if you have this set that is a high-energy set, and you're not feeling high-energy, you have two options. You either do it, be a professional, and act and do it, or you call an audible and you do a lower energy, maybe different set. That's what I have found. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know, man. What I usually do is I usually figure it out a couple of minutes, maybe 15 minutes before I go up, and I'll be like, I'm just gonna do this. And then I also leave enough space to riff in between, or like I kind of like it's almost like a wave or whatever, like you're riding and stuff like that. You want to go down? All right. You want to go? I don't know if that's the right. I don't know. You get what I'm trying to say?
Very much. We don't talk stand up on this podcast all the time.
Yeah.
And I know it could be, especially if you do podcasts, a lot of boring conversation. So I'm happy to move past. But I do have one more question about it.
Yeah.
Is this stuff boring to talk to for you?
Nope, not at all, man.
Okay, good. Because the way you said, I don't know, man, I wasn't sure if that was to the subject matter or just that one thought.
No. I don't know what I'd be doing, but I know that... you know Tommy?
Tommy from the Comedy Store?
Yeah.
The old booking coordinator.
Yeah, he said this. He says, you never ever know what Jamar's going to do, but you know that it's going to be good. And that's accurate. Because I'm like, I usually have a set of jokes and stuff like that. And if my job, I'm like, all right, if I get to three of these and do whatever the fuck I want in between, then I've succeeded in myself, you know, and there's that.
That's great that you feel that way about yourself, that your uncertainty doesn't affect the confidence.
Yeah. Hell no, dude. Because
The in between, do you feel like that space that you leave for riffing, and a lot of comedians like to do that for maybe different reasons, but do you feel that space allows you to recharge?
No, I'm not looking to recharge.
Then why give yourself so much space to riff instead
for them to take, because I'm still aware that they have to take in what's happening. So I'm like,
Could you say that differently?
I'm still aware that I'm doing a thing, and I have to give them time to catch up to what it is that I am doing. I probably switched like three words in that shit.
Well, I think you messed up. You accidentally gave the punchline to what the mama tomato said to the baby tomato, I think.
Yeah, man. I'm aware that I'm doing a thing, or that I am a thing.
How does riffing let them catch up?
I always allow myself to be like that space that I'm talking about. It's like I always allow myself to be free enough to I don't know what I'd be doing. I just be killing it.
Mm-hmm.
I just be ripping it up.
I don't know.
All in all,
for people who don't know, who are watching this that don't know you or haven't seen you perform, you are and every comedian I know would agree to this. one of the people that just crushes. You just always do. I mean, what I've seen, I've also never seen you low energy. I would love to, and I'm sure it's still great. But go ahead.
When I first got past the store or whatever, I was still like a little like nervous, so I was like low energy then because I was still like a little like, you know, I was still like a little like nervous to be up there and stuff. So that's when I was like low energy, when I just be delivering my jokes like in a corner and stuff like this. But you know, like, hey, da 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 da, and then I'll give like spurts.
Finish
of energy.
That joke. You probably can't say that shit anymore though, but that's funny.
No, I can't.
Do you think that your nervousness affects your energy always? Are you ever just feeling not nervous, but you don't have that kind of big performance energy?
It's few and far between now.
So you always find it. You're always able to just be big.
Now I learn to like play with the energy more.
That's the game.
Yeah.
Especially when you do long sets. Yeah, I see. Yeah. When you don't get to create a beach, you make one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You're on set. You were on Tiger Belly. You talked about pinching Peele's nipple.
Yeah.
That's on set or at a rap party or something?
It wasn't at a rap party. It was at Sarah Silverman's, you know, that party that she...
The rooftop one?
Yeah. And I don't know, like... If you're my friend or whatever, like I would do it to Willie. I would do it to like Gerard. I would do it to like you maybe or whatever. So I just thought that we were friends. So I was looking like, what up, boy?
Was it a hurt him or was it just like intimate?
It wasn't any of that. It was intimate. What?
Gripping somebody's nipples intimate.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh man, we've been like, I don't know, like my best friends like from like home, like, oh, what up, Nick? And I'm like, they stop pinching my nipple.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm just saying that like.
Oh, I didn't even think about it like that. I was just being stupid.
And he was upset. Have you seen him since?
No.
And you don't know if he's mad at you about it.
He retweets shit that I tweet every now and then. So I'm like, I don't know if he's. But I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking about it too much.
I find myself to be very familiar with people as well. I felt that way with you a couple times. I don't remember when it was. I actually didn't even remember this until this moment. But there was something a couple of years ago. You and I had an interaction. And I don't remember what it was.
But what do you mean?
What's that?
When? Like what?
I don't know. All I know is I called Gerard... like the day after or something to like look for some type of data. So basically you and I have known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
But how well do we know each other? You even said you don't know if you could pinch my nipple.
Right.
But I just feel very familiar with you. I feel a bond with you because we are performers in a world of comedians, relatively speaking. There's like some performers. I just define them in my own right or wrong performer.
Right.
So we're plus we had the stuff with going to special schools and the
IEP packets. Yeah.
All these things. So I always felt just like close with you, even though we're not.
Because you know why? Because I've met so many people in this comedy. I mean, in comedy, and like you're the only person who I've ever like talked about that with, and like, and I guess it just like came out, and I would never ever think that like anybody had the same kind of schooling that I had, like an IEP packet, like I haven't heard that in like so fucking long. And so, and you guys come from all over the place and stuff like that. Like, where are you from?
Cleveland. Like, my arms are tired.
Right. You come from Cleveland. People come from New York, North Carolina, all this shit. Like, I just wouldn't think that anybody would just have the same type of schooling that I had because they were from different places.
I didn't even remember the acronym until you brought up. I don't even remember what it stands for. Individual education packet. Program or something.
Program.
Yeah, we were at the Waffle.
Yeah.
And well, I'll finish this one thing and then let's talk about the IEPs.
Because you had behavior problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I have behavior problems.
Yeah, I mean, no shit. You know, I'm like, I'm snapping, you know, girls showing their tits and you got a mohawk that I still can't tell if it's real or not.
Yeah.
So But there was some interaction that we had that it wasn't me pinching your nipple, but it would have been something like that, like me feeling familiar with you, but then your reaction was something that felt like oddly turned off. And then I ran into you a couple of times.
Was this early?
This was in the last like 3 years, 4 years most.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, you don't remember and I don't remember. I obviously wasn't that big of a deal. I might have been, if I had to guess, sometimes I get higher than I mean to get.
Uh-huh.
And when that happens when I'm not at home, you know, like when you're at a club, you're kind of, especially when we're younger, but always, you're in club energy a little bit.
Right.
You know, you haven't seen someone in a month, or you haven't even seen people in a couple weeks or whatever.
Right.
And you're on.
Yeah.
Add to that being stoned out of my mind. So I don't know. I remember I just do, it doesn't matter. I was doing bits. You were weirded out by me. At least I felt you were.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I talked to Gerard about it. I don't even remember why. Coincidentally, I called him about something I brought you up. But I just remember that feeling. And ever since then, I haven't been, basically here's what it is. That moment and before, I would have pinched your nipple.
Right.
That moment on after, I don't think I would have pinched your nipple.
Right.
My question is, being that way where you are familiar, has that gotten you into trouble? Or hurt relationships? Like, or helped?
No, I've never. Well, I'm like really like I treat everybody like I try to treat everybody like they're my friend from back home. So because that helps me be genuine mm-hmm. to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey man, these are just your friends and stuff. So I never ever think like, hey, this is the best director in the world. You know what I'm saying? And like I would never ever do that shit again. You know, like to anybody, like if it wasn't like a legit like close friend or some shit. But like I would never do. But like usually that's the way I try to move. It's like, hey, I'm just treating everybody like I just know them.
Right.
It helps me out and it helps me be my most authentic self, whether it's annoying or not or whatever. But so
I feel the same way.
Do I feel like it's hurt relationships? I mean, maybe just that one. But for the most part, it's like people just accept me for me, like, you know,
or they don't.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't even do that a lot. You know, I don't even mean
necessarily pinching nipple. I just mean that idea of being very familiar, because we attract certain types of people, and if we like them, you know, if I like you and you like me, then great.
Yeah.
It takes both.
Yeah.
So the most consistent you could be is who you are.
Right.
There are going to be some people that have different boundaries.
Right.
That don't like that thing.
And also sometimes, like, well, whatever happened maybe 2 or 3 years ago, it's like sometimes people are in a space to be like that, and sometimes people aren't. It's mm-hmm. like we're humans, ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, maybe he caught me on a day where I'm just like, man, I'm up here right now. I can't handle this shit. You know, because like
very much.
I can usually handle your like you you know what I'm saying? I'm so tolerant. Like you heard what school I went to. Like I can handle most people and shit. But sometimes I don't want to.
Yes.
Like where I'm just in a different space. Maybe I'm about to go up and I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta do this.
That's why I keep headphones in all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And then people come up to me like, hey man, da 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 da. And I'm like, fuck Rick, you're a lot right now, and I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love you, but you're a lot right now. Shit, fuck.
But are you able to say that?
Well, because I don't want it to come off rude or anything. So, but I'm like, it's no disrespect to anybody. But hey, you're a dope ass basketball player.
Is this a change of subject or is this an
example? No. It's a random thing that just we can go back to that if you want to.
No, I
want to
keep talking about me as a basketball player,
dude. I fucking forgot you can ball your fucking ass off.
Thanks, man. Could you give examples or say more? Because you're an athletic guy.
When we
but
used to
also
play,
I want you to know that I'm going to try and stop you, but don't stop.
Okay.
We don't need to talk about this, by the way.
No, I'm gonna finish this.
All right, but make it quick. It doesn't matter.
Okay. We used to show up on Saturday to go play at Bancroft Middle School, and they used to ball the shit out of everybody, and everybody was surprised at how great you are. Yeah, man. But if I don't feel like dealing with nobody, you know what I'm saying? Then
give examples.
If I don't, shut up, Rick.
Like you've seen me dunking on people, right?
Yeah, yeah. Did you fix those Rubik's cubes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's funny that you call them fixing them as opposed to solving them.
Yeah. Fixing.
Yeah.
What? Wait, why?
I know why, but would you like to tell me why you think, or would you want me to just give you the answer? Yeah. You aren't able to do it. So when you see one that isn't done, you're like, fuck, how do we fix this? However, if you were doing them, it would be a more of a puzzle than something that was broken.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
It's like somebody who trains dogs could be like, fuck that dog, it's broken. No, it just needs to be trained. What type of experience do you have with dogs? Do you think it's needs to be solved, or do you think it's broken?
Wow. I just learned. That's profound, Rick. Wow.
But would you say I'm probably the best basketball player comedian you've ever seen?
Willie Mack is pretty good.
Willie Mack could literally jump out of a gym, and he's very good. But, and no disrespect to Willie, and shout out to Willie Mack. We'll put his Instagram handle up here. Just, I'm the best.
Willie Hunter is also an amazing player, too. Like a 3-point. You're all around, but so is Willie Mack. Whatever. I don't think you're better than Willie Mack, but you are second. Maybe you're second.
Okay, doesn't matter anymore because this is now. I went from jokingly wanting to play modest to now actually being not insulted, but just you're broken. So never mind to even think that. I mean, I could get to the hoop.
Can you do this? Can you paint this dresser the color of the Rubik's Cube?
I mean, maybe.
You should do that.
I don't want to.
All right. Because that's some shit that I would do.
that is a kind of cool idea. If I were doing like, do you remember the show Move That Bus, whatever it was?
Yeah.
And they built a home for people, and the kids, they would ask the kid like one question. What's your favorite thing? I like, Rubik's Cubes. And then they would make their whole room into a big fucking Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
And it's like they outgrow that in 8 months.
Yeah.
But like I could see how like a Rubik's Cube theme.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Is this fixing the Rubik's Cube or solving the Rubik's Cube tube? Is this a way? Or I think that it's out of the box. Okay, the Rubik's Cube is all fucked up, right? It's all fucked up. And so what I used to do was I just used to take all the stickers off.
Right.
And then put them on like that, like fix it like that.
Yeah. If your goal is to fix it.
Is that out of the box thinking?
It's quite literally on the box thinking.
What? Oh.
You're fixing it, but you're not solving it.
Hey.
And that's, you know what? That's a great metaphor for intention. Two people could have the same outcome, but what did they intend to do? Did they intend, for example, if somebody comes up to you at the comedy store and you're in your head and you're trying to get ready and you were to say to them, hey, I love you, Rick, but I can't deal with it right now.
Yeah.
Your intention is to make yourself feel safe, to give yourself, set up your own boundaries. So that's fine. If your intention was to put me down or to somehow have some negative effect on me.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you want your Rubik's Cube to be finished. And I think, the challenge to you, next time somebody is getting in the way of your safe space, you're allowed to say, hey, I can't deal with this right now.
Oh, I do that now.
Good.
Yeah. I honestly think that, I think that it's also brilliant to take the stickers off and just put them on where they go.
I don't know if I would call it brilliant.
Not brilliant, but I think that's I think the point is to make all the sides one color.
If they
didn't say how to do it.
If that's the point.
Yeah, they didn't say how you could go about doing it. It's like I remember being in high school and I had a computer class and the teacher said, "Hey, I want you to make this sentence I want you to make this fuck." It was like, I don't know.
Well, go ahead.
I forgot. I fucking forgot. Oh yeah, I want you to make this. I want you to prove like the sentence was like fucked up, And they were like proofread marks and shit like this. And he was like, I want you to make this sentence correct using like proper computer function or whatever the fuck, right? So what I did was there was a certain way to do it. But what I did was I just kind of copied and pasted like certain things here and certain things. It wasn't the way, but I just remember the teacher going,
wasn't that cheating?
No. I remember the teacher going, well, that's one way to do it, but this is the correct way to do it. But I'm like, but I still got the results.
Right. Which actually reminds me that.
Is that wrong?
School is tough, man.
I guess.
No, it's not wrong. You fixed it.
But I didn't solve it.
You didn't solve it. Here, let me put it in a literal application for you, okay? If your job, uh-huh. if somebody gives you a training, like a working out, lifting weights training thing,
yeah,
and they say you need to do 10 reps at this weight, and if you do it, you did your job, which would be the fixing, right? Then you could go out there and swing and get the 10 done, right?
Right.
But if your job, if you think your goal is to get 10 reps, then you're cheating yourself because it's not really. Getting 10 reps is your goal to make yourself stronger. So you could get the 10 reps, but you didn't really exhaust your muscles in the proper way, and you may have hurt your shoulders.
Oh.
So if your job is to get this Rubik's Cube to have all the colors on the same side, then you, my friend, have done your job. But if it is to stimulate your brain to learn pattern recognition, to get dexterity with your fingers, and learn a new trade or craft, my friend, you aren't just cheating the world, you're cheating yourself.
Whoa. Oh. So I've been in life all wrong.
I wouldn't say all wrong, but I would say mostly wrong.
Wow. Dude, I just learned something crazy. Well, okay. If my sink is broke.
When your sink is broke.
When my sink is broke.
Yep.
Am I fixing it or am I solving the problem?
If you fix it, you're fixing it. If your sink is broke. And your goal is to have the water stop leaking through the pipes. And that's your only goal. Then you better be a singer, girl.
Then you have to. You're right.
That, the way I said that made me think of that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Rick, can you sing again?
Yes, but do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
What movie that's from?
Bridesmaids.
No. In Sister Act, when Lauryn Hill, it was Sister Act, Back in the Habit.
Uh-huh.
When Lauryn Hill quits.
Uh-huh.
Sister Mary Clarence goes up to her and says, like, she's like, she's real, like she could sing because she sung. I still get goosebumps when I hear it.
Eyes on a Sparrow with Tanya Blount. That was the other girl, Tanya Blount. Yeah.
Also, side note, you can't say this anymore, but when they found out that they were going to Vegas to uh-huh. do the show, they were all, and these girls have boyfriends. They even said they have boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, ooh, there's going to be some cute boys up there. I remember, what the fuck?
Okay.
I'll cut to a clip.
What about our boyfriends?
Well, yeah, there may be some all-boy flyers at this competition.
Where in?
If we win this thing, then the Archdiocese...
Fucking sluts.
But, yeah, the Eyes on the Sparrow. But anyway, she goes, listen, Lauryn Hill, okay? Because she used to do the... I used to want to be in the Ice Capades. And don't mock the Ice Capades. They were very cool. And like that was like the jokey
this
way
is,
of getting
this is
in.
The mama talking to Lauryn Hill.
No, this is Whoopi Goldberg talking to Lauryn Hill's...
Right.
Lauryn Hill.
What are the Ice Capades?
She was... What are the Ice Capades?
What is that?
It's like when you're like Mickey... Like shows on ice. It's like a musical on ice or something.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like... She's telling the story and about somebody who... If you wake up and all you could do is think about writing, then you're a writer. And if you, all you do every day is think about singing, and you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think about is singing, then you should be a singer, girl.
Wow. Wow.
Check this out, dude. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Blue.
When Jesus disease, my passion.
Keep going.
A constant friend is he. His eyes is on the sparrow. Damn it, girl. I just can't get that note.
No, what are you talking about, girl? You sound better than me.
Yeah.
Was that racist the way I did that? Is it racist to now speak the way like that?
No. No, no. Are you saying that your voice is black?
Yeah.
Voicing?
Well, my intention was to have the voice be of that girl.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
That's bad. That's bad.
You know what? Sometimes.
Why don't you just take the sticker off and then move it on the. No. I don't give a fuck. I think. You know why? Because I had a college teacher, right? I had a college teacher.
Ooh, this is making me angry. Something I'm not able to figure out right now.
I had a college teacher who said that more students were cheating, more students were like finding new ways to cheat on their exams, and then they had a talk with the faculty, and they said, the teacher said, oh my God, these kids, use, and then my teacher said, no, that actually means that children or kids are actually becoming smarter because they're finding new ways to
fix the problem
and not solve.
Yeah, listen,
Rick.
It's not black and white. There's different way. It's intuitive to think outside of the box. Listen, I'm all for it. I'm just saying, if the reason you're doing something is because you can't do it the other way, and you're okay with that, then you should be a singer, girl.
Oh, right. Okay. I actually respect that. Why didn't you say that earlier? Then we wouldn't be having this conversation if
each other sentences.
Said that sentence.
Almost.
Ah, Richard! Almost. Can I call you Richard? I like calling you Richard.
Yeah, talk to me about IEPs for a second and how we could connect to that. Remind me about that.
Okay, if you were a child and then you were a bad child.
Which everyone was.
Yeah, a child. And I got kicked out of public school because I kicked my teacher and I stole her $20 and all this shit. And I was very disruptive. I was
you
a crack
her,
baby.
You, what? You were a crack baby.
Right.
You really were.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, does a crack
pull that crack baby up?
Do you have a picture?
Look at it.
Does a crack baby mean that your mom did crack while you were a kid, or does that mean she was pregnant with you doing crack?
Oh man, is she gonna watch this?
I don't know. Do you want to not talk about this?
Yeah, because she told me stop saying shit like
we
that.
We can stop talking about it.
But anyway,
but I have to say, knowing very little of this subject matter. And not knowing people's relationships with family when they go through something like this.
Do you ever think about shit like that, Rick?
I think about whenever something's presented.
Does your parents, you don't really talk about your family, though.
I have my family on the podcast multiple times.
Oh, okay, cool.
My dad smokes weed every day, but yeah. I feel like there's a different acceptance for weed than. But what all I was going to bring up is.
I got kicked out.
I want to say this one thing, and if you want to take stuff out, but I think it's awesome that your relationship with your mom is so that she doesn't want you to talk about it or whatever. You're obviously still close with your mom.
Yeah, it's not that she doesn't want me to talk about it, but every time I bring it up, it's almost because this is my thing. It's like when a person comes so, because she doesn't do that shit anymore.
Right.
Like she's so far removed from it. So like when you bring it up and then it's like, oh, like what the fuck? Like if she watches it, it probably takes her back down. I don't want to do that shit to my mom.
Do you think
mom.
It's because when you've talked about it, you've made light of it? Or is it just the subject in general?
I've made light of it, but I'm still talking about her life. But it's also my life too.
I mean, in a very different way. I often think about that. Like when you're talking about ex-girlfriends even. How much of this is... This is my business, but it's also somebody else's. So
right.
Where am I allowed to talk? And I respect that. I do have to say that sometimes people get uncomfortable, whether they're uncomfortable with vulnerability or they think they're not being funny or interesting or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
The response I get from people is so great, especially people who could identify with those situations. So it's nice to be in environments where people could talk on that stuff, but not if you feel it's inappropriate to a relationship. But I'm very interested in hearing about that.
Well, she did it when.
Why don't we move on? Why don't we move on? And we can have you back if you ever want to talk about stuff.
Yeah, I think she did it when she was pregnant. Like, for sure.
Do you think that's why you're so vascular and strong?
Well, I always talk about that. It's because I have to, like, people think I'm trying to be buff. And I'm like, I have to maintain muscle, or else, like, if I get skinny, I'll look like a crack man.
Oh, that's a real thing. Like,
I have to keep it pump. I have to keep it.
I mean, we're going all over the place. I want to make sure we have
Rick.
Yes.
Okay. I am muscular.
Yes.
But I'm also still kind of skinny.
No.
No?
I know what you're saying. I never looked like you, but I used to be in very good athletic shape. I always thought I'm still so skinny. I look back at pictures of me. Now I'm a Jewish pear with bad posture.
Mm-hmm.
I look back at those pictures. I'm like, I was fucking yoked.
You
think that because whatever fake identity you have for yourself.
Yeah. But that's what jacked. It really is. Yeah, that's what it really is, dude. I'm like, because I saw a fat crack baby, like a fat crack man, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know we could get that size. So maybe I'm just making that up just to, you know, for, you know.
You also wanted to be a boxer, right? Didn't you train for boxing?
Yeah. I knocked a guy out in the first round. He was so fat, though.
Was it a sanctioned thing, or was it just like
it was like a little at a Gelson's? Smoker. It was at a Gelson's.
But before we run out of time, because I know you're going to play baseball soon,
yeah,
right?
I gotta go play baseball.
Tell me a little bit about IEP and the special school.
Okay, so what happened?
We both
was,
had this.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened was I got kicked out of a public school for stealing my teacher's $20 and kicking her in the shin, and then I was very disruptive. So
was this one time you kick him in the shin and now there's a problem, or was there a buildup? Before the kick.
I remember that whole day.
Aren't you in a special class before the kick? Like a special learning disabled class or something?
No, I was in a normal class.
Oh, so up until the kick, you were just...
A good kid? No. I was always disruptive. But then I was like...
You weren't IEP yet.
No. I was still smart and capable. I was just behavior yeah. problems.
Last question, and then I'm sorry. Ninth grade, eighth grade. What grade are you in? The kick.
Oh, second grade.
Oh,
yeah. And then so I got moved to a non-public school. It's not a private school. It's a non-public school.
Right. And what is it for special kids? Yeah, that's because I went to that. I went to one PEP, okay. Positive Education Program. I went to a special school. I was so embarrassed. I talked about this recently on a podcast. Not everything, but I talked about how in ninth grade I had to go to a special school. I was so embarrassed. And
you were old.
Yeah, which is even tougher because the kids are like, "Where's Rick? Oh, he's at the school for bad kids." And my mom convinced the school to let me come, even though I wasn't in school anymore, I'm in the special school, to come and take a yearbook picture in case I got to go back to school. So it would be like, why wasn't Rick in the yearbook? Anyway, so you're in second grade. What's the special school called? Do you remember?
Yes, it's called Little... Okay, you ready? It was called Little Citizens.
Little what?
Little Citizens West Side Academy.
So it's like a military school for little citizens?
Yeah. Did you ever have point charts?
Uh-huh. And you got to buy stuff with your points?
Yeah, I got to go
to Burger King for, it was stars. We got stars.
Yeah. I've had stars and shit. You get like five of them. Well, my mom's calling. Should I answer it?
Go for it. We could edit out if you don't want it on.
Okay. Hey, Mom, I'm doing a podcast right now. Say hi to Rick Glassman.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. She can't hear me.
Hey.
Could you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
It's literally the least I could have done, but you're welcome. I love your son.
Say that again?
I love your son, and we're talking about Little Citizens West Side Academy at the moment. Because I had to
go to
special school, too.
He's amazing. Yes.
Mom, remember when I had to go to that school? Because I was like a disruptive kid.
Ask her to tell the story when she heard that you kicked the teacher.
My auntie, I was with my auntie at the time, and she sent me to that school. But
I remember it was like a Christian school, but in your mind, you thought it was like a school you didn't belong there. I don't know.
Yeah, because I wasn't hard. I was just disruptive and behavior problems. Like,
right, just acting out wild, child.
Yeah.
I called primarily to see how you were feeling. So how are you feeling?
Mommy, I'm fantastic. Because I was telling, I had just got it, Rick. Rick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had just got over the coronavirus, right? And so I trained my little nephew in boxing. I went over there and then he coughed on me. And then I got like a cough from him after I got over COVID. And so I told my mom, I said, I ain't training this little nigga no more. And because he coughed on me and gave me, like, it's not COVID, whatever little, I don't know what that nigga over there eating, but that shit got to my throat and I don't fuck with that nigga no more.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's 5 years old. Tell the facts. I mean, now you're acting like he should be acting. He's 5 years old. He don't know any better because you play with him and you don't set boundaries, you know, and enforce them after you set them.
He's five.
I don't wonder why he's you're feeling the way you're feeling.
That nigga is seven. I'm sorry, Mom.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding, Mom. I'm kidding. But, yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'm feeling perfect, though. I'm feeling fine.
Okay, call me after you're done.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, bye.
Bye. She got mad.
Yeah, I felt you felt like you crossed the line and you kind of changed.
I didn't even do nothing. I ain't do nothing. Like, this is my life. I'm like, I can't joke about shit. It's like I can't even be no comedian, Rick. And I'm a comedian. It's great. What should I do? Should I quit comedy and just be a fucking trucker?
What's the goal?
For comedy?
If it's comedy.
I'm successful.
it's stand-up. Do you want to be acting, writing, stand-up, all of the above?
Acting.
Acting's the goal.
I mean, all of it, you know? I'm doing all of it. But really, we're going to go to movies, Rick.
What do you mean?
We're going to go do more movies, right?
I would love to.
Dude, yeah. What's your shit?
I start filming a show in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's right. You told me that, man.
So I'm trying to get a couple extra episodes in the can. Incidentally, it's a show about autism, so I might bleep you and your mom saying the R word. Or we can dub it over with you saying the N word.
But this is my thing. It's like, I can't joke like around like my family and shit or it becomes like too much for them and I'm just like I'm like what the fuck y'all want me to do?
Why can't you joke?
Now I'm being serious where I'm just like and I'm being like drop dead serious like well what the fuck y'all want me to do? I'm like I'm doing my fucking job.
You mean joke on the phone with them or they don't like that you're doing jokes for a living?
Joke like I can't be myself.
Like just now on the phone.
Yeah, because I'm also mindful that I'm doing a podcast and I'm doing my job basically. Uh-huh. And so I'm like I'm in a certain mode and so I pick up this call and stuff like that and I forget that I'm not like that too much around my family.
You're not comedian mode.
No, I'm more reserved and stuff because I know that if I ever did turn it on, it's too much. I'm like you. I don't know.
What would you like? Would you like them to better understand it?
They'll never understand it. You know, like even if you look, you know what's so crazy is that like they could laugh at a comedian who does the same kind of jokes that I do. But if I do the same kind of jokes and shit, they don't enjoy it because it's personal. I mean, because they feel like it's personal. Like you know what I'm trying to say?
Because they're disconnected from it. They have nothing to do with it.
It's like if Kevin Hart is making a joke about his dad.
Give me an example.
If Kevin Hart is making a joke about his dad or whatever, they can laugh at that. But if I'm making a joke about my dad, then they're like, "Well, Jamal, you know what? I tried." You know, because now it's
right.
Personal.
That's what I'm saying. It's about that. They hear you as the you talk about your challenges as mistakes that they may have made.
Right. When I'm really just doing my job. I don't really even care. You know.
Do you do a good Kevin Hart?
No.
Dude, well, I know you have to go play baseball.
No, this shit got real, Rick. This shit just really fucking got real.
Are you down to talk for a few more minutes on this?
Shit, man. Damn.
If we could send your mom a clip of what you want the most from her while we put some like heartfelt music underneath it, what would you say to her?
I just want to say,
Acting exercise here. Be as as 100% serious as you can be of what you want from your mom. In particular, understanding her perspective, but her to better understand yours. And just like, I want you to see this side of me and be okay with this.
Nah. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much for coming in.
This is fun, boy. Love you, dog. Hey, man. I really, 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 really love doing this, man. Hell yeah. Thank you.
Where can people see you? Oh.
Man. All right. So real shit, man. I'll be in Austin again at doing my apartment
We're
show.
Still going to put in the sad music in place of him talking to his mom. Go ahead.
Doing the sad. Uh-oh. Okay, Rick, can you do this? Can you say, hey, man, what would you want your mom to know so better?
Understand.
Can you do that
I know
again?
Where we're going. Yes. Hey, man, what would you, if your mom was going to watch this moment and really take in what you had to say and your feelings, what would you want her to hear about you and your comedy and the way she receives it?
I just want to let her and everybody else know that I'll be in Austin, Texas. All right? Austin, Texas, doing the apartment show at the Native Hostel. 807 East 6th Street.
Could you cry while you're saying this?
Downtown. And I'll be doing it every Tuesday.
Where could she find you on Instagram?
At Jamar _ Neighbors.
Was Jamar Neighbors taken or?
Somebody else had my username.
What made you not want to have Jamar Neighbors with a
number? I don't know, man.
With a number.
Because Instagram they just make you put a fucking underscore.
I don't know anybody that has an underscore. None of my friends have underscore. It just gets confusing because some people put a dash, you know?
Look, listen, man, I have these dates. I just want to share it. Look, I'm just trying to be a fucking good person.
Do you think your mom would come to any of these? If so, what options would she have?
I'm actually doing one on her birthday, March 5th, and I don't think that she's gonna fucking come because she knows that I do. She doesn't like my comedy.
Nobody likes my comedy either, except for my mom. I'm the opposite.
And I'm fucking up so phenomenal. And so
But March 5th will have happened already by the time this came out.
And then March 2nd, March 5th.
Do you have anything 9th, end of March?
March 16th, March 23rd, March 30th. I'll be at the Native Hostel doing Jammer's apartment show in Austin. $20 ticket, 7:30 door, 8 o'clock show. And maybe I can get Joe Rogan to pop in.
Hi.
Yeah.
If you just want to snap to start the music. Oh, and look, I solved it.
Finally, you fixed it.
Scoot and doo. Bubbity blue, yeah. Scoot and dee. Oh, yeah.
Love it. Stay there. I'm going to take a pull right with you.
Get a little bit.